Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 132, Explaining Dreadful Runs. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle of the packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Today's topic, dreadful runs, has been on my mind because several times I've seen questions and comments in various Facebook groups about the cause of bad runs, and the ensuing discussions are sometimes nothing short of alarming. But before we get to that, a quick bit of news about this podcast. I recently launched a Patreon page. Let me explain what that means. Patreon is a crowdfunding platform which is often used by authors, cartoonists, musicians, and podcasters. So to fund this podcast, I've created a Patreon page. Last summer, I promised to do a dozen more episodes after I had been off from recording them for several months because I was so busy with my responsibilities for Run Tampa. At that time, I said I would do a dozen more episodes, and if I got adequate donations, then I would be able to continue because that would provide the income to hire an assistant, which would give me time to do more podcasts. Well, since then, I've explored Patreon, and I think it might be a better way for me to collect donations than going through my website like I was doing in the past. Because the way it's set up is that people can commit to a certain amount each time I publish a new episode. Then I set certain goals and offer certain rewards for different levels of commitment. This is working quite well for many podcasters. I've still got a few more episodes before I finish that dozen. So if this works out and enough people commit, then we're good to go and I'll plunge ahead. My Patreon page URL is patreon.com/coachdeb. I'll put that in the show notes. I've also posted it already on Facebook and I've tweeted it. You can commit as little as $1 per episode. So please give it some thought. That may not seem like much to you, but in fact, if enough people do it who listen, and an awful lot of people are downloading it, then that might make all the difference. Now, let's move on to the topic of terrible, no good, horrible, awful, dreadful runs. Have you ever had a run like that? Well, of course you have. Over the last several months, I've seen several Facebook posts where people had dreadful runs, and I felt like every time their take on it was wrong. And that was worsened by a long list of comments from people trying to be helpful, but completely missing the likely culprits. In each case, the runner who'd suffered the dreadful run assumed it was a nutrition problem. Two runners had a very similar incident. In each case, new-ish runners had done 5 or 6 miles for the first time. They said they had been doing fine, but when they bumped up their distance to 6 miles, they bonked. Just totally felt like crap. One said it happened at 30 minutes. For the other, it started going downhill at about 45, and each had arrived at the conclusion that they needed to consume some nutrition during their run, that was the problem that resulted in the dreadful run, that is what caused them to run out of gas. In each case, a lengthy thread ensued, with runner after runner commenting on what they, the commenter, consume in the way of nutrition during their runs, mentioning goos, and by that I mean the ones in little foil envelopes, jelly beans, blocks, every conceivable brand of nutrition, and some people were mentioning electrolytes. Many of the products they were suggesting, well, almost all of them included both. One person said when he had his dreadful run, it was his first 6 mile run, but he started to feel bad at 30 minutes. So he thought he must need nutrition and suggested maybe he should eat some of those goos. What? I immediately thought, wait. I'm reading people going on and on about what they eat, but none of them were making the point that if he started feeling bad 30 minutes into the run, it most certainly didn't have anything to do with what he had or hadn't eaten. Here's the thing. Runners love to help each other. If you've been a runner for long,
You've probably received great advice from more experienced runners, so you want to give back, help other less experienced runners. It's typical of runners to feel the need to help other runners solve their problems. That's what the running community is like. A coach would not have given any advice without first asking questions, and I guarantee a coach would have immediately said, "It's not nutrition." Here's the thing. If you eat a normal diet, even if it's not great, if it's a reasonable diet and you're healthy, then you'll most certainly be perfectly fine for 90 minutes. You'll have plenty of stored glycogen for that long. I think one reason newer runners fall into this trap is that at the beginning of their running career, it feels like they're doing so much more than they did before they embarked on this journey. And they are. But part of becoming a runner is resetting the way you think. It's doing a reality check. A little nutrition goes a long way, especially healthy nutrition, but any nutrition. Most people do eat enough foods to give them whatever glycogen they need. Unless you're out there for more than 90 minutes, all you need is water. Unless you have a unique physiological need, and then that's more likely to be a need for electrolytes, not nutrition. Everyone, newbie and veteran, has the occasional bad, terrible, horrible, awful, no good, stinking run. Everybody. When that happens, if you're a very experienced runner, often you can put your finger on it. But newer runners often can't. And sometimes even very experienced runners have awful runs that they can't ever explain. The woman said she had gone from a 30-minute run to 45. Well, again, that's a third again as much, but in her case, she said she felt lousy the whole time. She thought her bad experience was due to, inadequate nutrition. Let's look at why people jump on the "I didn't consume enough nutrition" bandwagon so quickly. First of all, it's easy to fix, the easiest. Plus, the solution is pleasant. We all enjoy eating something that tastes good, and there are many tasty flavors of goos and gel blocks and wafers and beans and drinks that basically taste like candy. I used to, years ago, eat those beans that look like jelly beans, and I used goos for years too. They work just fine for longer runs for many people. So, since they're tasty, they're a great treat and so easy. And there's nothing wrong with that if you need them. But if it's early in a race or a run, within the first hour to 90 minutes, if you start feeling like you're running out of gas, that's not the problem. Yes, eating would be such an easy solution, the easiest, but that doesn't mean, in fact, it is the solution. I saw someone heading to the starting line of a half marathon last weekend with a fuel belt with 6 goos attached. For most people, 1 or 2 would be the correct amount, maybe 3. If that person will be out there for 3 hours or more. But if they've eaten a good, balanced, healthy diet the day before, that would certainly be the max. Some of those goos say they should be taken every 45 minutes. I think that's too often, but it might be okay. My recommendation, personally, like always, is to experiment on every long run. Remember, the manufacturers of those goos are the ones saying that. Think about the sports drinks you see advertised on TV. They would have you thinking you need to have a sports drink if you go to the gym for an hour, or if you run, even 30 minutes. You won't even need water in 30 minutes. Those companies need you to buy their drinks. Remember, it's an ad. I'm reminded of how people jump to taking prescription drugs when anything goes wrong. I think this was more the case with prior generations, happily. I feel like people are starting to wise up and realize the goal should be to make any and all lifestyle changes to correct health problems before resorting to prescription drugs. But my parents' generation started taking prescriptions at the first sign of any issue. It was the first line treatment. They didn't know about food as medicine, and they didn't know that exercise reverses many health issues. Taking a pill was so much easier than making diet and lifestyle changes. The same way that downing a gel is easier than training more. The point is to be as healthy as you can as regards any nutrition you consume during a run, to not take it because a sports drink company tells you you need it, but rather to experiment on your runs and to be careful not to consume more than you need and not to assume if you have a bad run or race that the problem is not consuming enough fuel, at least not if you're out there 90 minutes or less. So what is the cause of the bad run? It could be any number of things. It might very likely be that you just aren't trained adequately for that distance. The man said it was his first time to run 6 miles. Well, he doubled his mileage. Of course he felt bad. No research needed there. That's common sense. When you run farther, it's harder. Another possibility is that it could be, and this is very likely, that the runner did something strenuous the day before, or the day before that, or even that morning. Once, I was working with 2 newer runners. They were on a weight loss journey, and they had been going to the gym every day after work and taking multiple fitness classes, sometimes 3 a day. They were almost fanatical about it, so much so that the trainers at the gym recommended they get outside and add something else to their fitness regimen, something outside the gym, maybe something less intense. That brought them to me. When we talked, they expressed their frustration that they were training really hard, but seemed to be getting less fit as far as running goes. They had decided to do a 5K every month, and they had been doing this for several months, but they weren't seeing improvement. They were not lowering their times. In fact, they were getting slower. I asked about their gym classes. Were they taking classes on Thursday and Friday before their race on Saturday? Well, yeah, they were. Of course, they said. We take classes every day. Turned out, every week they were taking a Friday night spinning class before running a 5K race on Saturday morning. Bingo! That was the answer. I explained that they shouldn't do anything strenuous, running or otherwise, within 48 hours of a race. They had no idea that the spinning was inappropriate. They stopped the Thursday and Friday classes, and guess what? Their 5K races started improving. In fact, they improved massively. The experience was entirely different. I bet that happens a lot. No matter what, I can say with great confidence that whatever brought about that bonk at the 30-minute mark, it wasn't something that can be remedied by food of any kind. More likely, it was hard for the same reason it's always hard when people increase their distance, because it was their first time at that distance. My message is to embrace the horrible, terrible, no good, very bad runs. It's part of being a runner. You have to ask your body to do more than it's accustomed to doing if you want to get better. We call that stress overload. Before your body becomes stronger to be ready, you have to overload it to get it to recover and be ready for next time. That's the whole premise of conditioning for better performance, asking your body to do more than it has done in the past and then allowing it to recover and become stronger. When you do more than you have in the past, it won't be easy, but thankfully it's seldom dreadful. You may never know for sure why you had a bad run. That happens. And you may never know why, but it's part of running. Accept it. Sadly, we live in a society that is blasted by ubiquitous ads aimed at convincing you that you need to be eating all the time and that consuming food will always make you better. Ads that are still telling you that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Ads that suggest eating several meals a day. Telling you that skipping a meal is bad. Telling you that all calories are equal. All that has been disproven. But you won't know that if you get your advice from TV or from stale research or from articles that are even 3 years old. Consider this. For every really bad, unexplained, terrible run you have, you'll eventually have a breakthrough run when you're firing on all cylinders and feel like a superhero. Yes, that will happen. And 10 years from now, those are the runs you'll remember. Just keep running. And the longer you run, the more years you run, the more outstanding golden runs you'll have. Over time, you'll have a dozen great runs for every bad one. And the rest of the runs will fall somewhere in between. Now, a reminder. If you find this podcast helpful, please consider going to my Patreon site and contributing. The future of this podcast is completely up to you. Just giving you a heads up. I posted to the Facebook page about the Patreon site, and I want to give a great big shout out to Sarah Bowers for being my first Patreon patron. In the comments on Facebook, Sarah said this, You have joined me on a lot of runs since I started running a year and a half ago. I love hearing that. In a way, we're running buddies. Sending you a giant bear hug, Sarah. Please follow me on Instagram @RunTampa and @MojoForRunning. And don't forget the documentary film, The Human Race, is now available on 23 channels, including Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube. You can buy it or rent it. I guarantee you will be inspired. I would love it if you watch the movie and you like it. I would love for you to leave a review of the documentary on Amazon. That would be fantastic. Now here's today's quote. Ask yourself if what you're doing today is getting you closer to where you want to be tomorrow.